podcast.
Oh my God, you sound like Rachel when she does that.
She started
doing that at the beginning.
She probably sounds a lot smoother than I do, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's you know that she's actually, as I turn away from the microphone, she was upset that she didn't get to record the voice for the end. So
well, in our next series, she can be the voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's on the phone tree.
She is on the phone. Yeah, she is she's the official voice of Mafia. Yeah, exactly. That's why she was like, "Hey, why didn't you ask me?" And I was like, "I'm not in charge of that department, honey. Sorry."
So. Episode 56.
Yeah,
56. And we thought it might be. We were talking about projects that we've worked on along the way throughout our careers, projects or products or services or whatever that either you know are destined for failure.
Sure.
For a litany of reasons, or maybe products you just don't believe in or have a personal, I don't know, aversion to or something. And how do you navigate that? And are there any sort of stories that we can tell, anecdotes about working on projects like that? And I know that you and I worked on one together many, many years ago.
Correct.
So I'll let you tell that story.
Yeah, we were working for a large packaged goods company that had, by the time it got to us, I think it had reached the point of no return. And what I mean by that is they had already sunk millions and millions of dollars in R&D into this product, right? And sort of came to us with, okay, you know.
Here it is. We're ready.
Here it is. Like, it's time to help the messaging and the communication around what this product is. And it was an on-the-go product. So it was kind of a grab-and-go product, right? So where the millions of dollars had come in was really more on, I would almost say, the industrial design of the product and sort of how it worked.
Venture
right?
to guess that most of the money was spent there based on what it was.
Yeah. So it was, we finally perfected how this thing works, right? But by the time it landed on our desk, we were like, huh, did anybody really stop and think about, yes, it works, but...
It won't work.
Yeah. Did anybody think like that this is a good idea?
Yeah.
You know, right. You know, or secondly, that like that anybody needs this, right? You know, like we've joked on the previous podcast on like, hey, Apple did a great job with iPods and things like that, but well before phones of like, we didn't know we needed things until they told us we needed things. Right.
Right.
And it was like, oh yeah. Like all this music on this device, like what a great idea. Right. This was kind of the opposite of that, of like, hey, no one was asking for this. No one really needs this thing. And like, how much, what have you, like, what?
Well, let's describe it without naming names. Here's what it was.
Yeah.
The concept was cereal on the go.
Yeah, exactly.
So this was cereal that you could eat on the go.
Yeah, one-handed cereal consumption in your car.
Yeah, and we've all, I've told you.
Yeah.
My kids, God bless them, sometimes ask to eat cereal in the car. And I look at them with just utter disbelief that they would even ask me that question.
Why?
No.
And every time this has come up, I've said, you have to watch the episode of Sunny in Philadelphia where the guy is eating cereal in the car and he gets rear-ended. And he spills cereal all over the car.
The notion of eating cereal in the car is just insane to me.
Yeah.
But somebody apparently thought that people wanted to have cereal on the go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
well, there is something interesting about the last bite of cereal being just as crunchy and new as potentially the first bite of cereal, if you want that, because we don't have that now. Right now, when you milk it, you know, by the end, unless it's grape nuts, by the end, it has absorbed some of the milk. I mean, you just can't physically eat it fast enough, right? So maybe there was some of that at play. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we were, the name came to us, I think, and I think maybe even I can't remember if the logo came to us or not, but it was a lot of messaging around it, a lot of obviously design surrounding it, a lot of point of sale messaging.
And describe how it worked.
Okay, we want to go that way.
The mechanism,
All right, so there is an outer chamber, call it like imagine you're holding like your Yeti, right? Your Yeti cup or whatever that, right? And then there is a secondary thing, like the lid goes on top of your Yeti, but imagine underneath that lid is a vessel that holds all of the, you're laughing, that holds all of the cereal, right?
Right.
So technically what you do is you pull it out, you take off the lid, which has the thing, you pour the milk into the cup, right? And then you put it back together and then you tear a lid off and then the milk like mixes in your mouth with the cereal.
Right.
Right. So
problem number one,
I can't believe we're being this descriptive.
A traditional bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
What do you pour first?
You pour the milk right on top of the cereal.
You pour the cereal, then you pour the milk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was flipping that on its head.
Yeah.
Now we're pouring milk first.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Okay.
But not on the cereal.
But not on the cereal.
You're pouring it into the outer vessel.
Right.
Right. Right. And then you compact them both together. You click them both together.
Yeah.
And then you release the cereal, right? and then you shake it and kind of drink it in your mouth, right? So as everyone can imagine, and we're sitting here laughing about it, but as everyone can imagine, like, we have 100+ years of pouring milk on cereal, right? And now
it's
our
pretty simple process.
Our main point of emphasis is, whatever you do, do not pour the milk on this. Like, the first step is don't do that. Don't, right?
Right.
So the focus groups, the testing, everyone does this thing, you know, so we had to develop kind of and I think we did an amazing job. We hired this amazing illustrator. I mean, we did it, the yeoman's job, you know, it was great.
We did the best we could do with what we had.
Yeah, exactly. To create kind of a three-step or a four-step process of, here's how to properly, you know, use this device, right?
Right.
And, you know, we had a cool blueprint kind of look. I mean, it was cutting edge for the time, you know, and I do remember seeing it out in the wild. You know, after it did launch, I do remember seeing it, like, I think maybe it was an airport or something.
You caught it during that 1 week that it was on the show.
I got it out there. Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting thing where I think we all scratched our heads, and then it's like, hey guys, we have to work, like, we have to do the best job we can possibly do to try to make this thing as successful as possible. Right. But there is a certain threshold where it could be the most amazing ad or design or whatever on the planet, but the product itself just wasn't a need for anybody. And let's not even talk about price point and things like that.
Right.
You know? So, but it was an interesting, you know, like, yeah, I think we can get the giggles out in the launch meeting, but then you kind of got to knuckle down and try to do the best job you can. And, you know, and you have to do that tightrope dance of explaining to your client, like, this is why this is the solve for this, while delicately telling them, like, you know, this is why we have to combat these, you know, this communication objective or things like that, right?
So, well, I think it's hard to call anyone's baby ugly.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I mean, you never like to do that. B, I think, and this is true in our case sometimes too, you get, when it is your baby, whatever it is, whether it's a product or an idea or an invention or a whatever, you get so deep into it.
You're close to it.
You're so close to it that it's impossible to see the forest for the trees, right?
Yeah.
And I know that's happened certainly with concepts along the way, where you get a concept and you're like, oh,
this is the best
thing ever. And you work on it and you work on it and you craft it. And then finally somebody just goes, well, yeah, but
did you think of this?
Yeah. And you just go, oh, I'm gonna crawl up into a ball and cry. So I think that happens to everybody. But that was one fun example of a product that we knew was like, this is not gonna work.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so pot committed, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
And it was an engineer's dream, I would imagine. Like,
oh, yeah,
trying to figure that.
Oh yeah,
figure that thing out.
There are CAD drawings out the wazoo on this thing.
Yeah,
you know? But you know, the land of the intersection of human behavior, need, and then advertising and marketing.
Right.
You know, on that one, I don't think really worked really well. If that makes any sense. So, any other sort of thoughts around things that potentially might not work, or not necessarily doomed from the start, but you know,
no. I mean, I think we've never. I've never really had to work, and I always wonder what it would be like if you were at a shop where, you know, I don't know, depending on what you believed in or what, like, let's pick on cigarettes for a second.
Yeah.
Like, if you were the junior creative in a shop and you had the Marlboro account,
yeah,
like how you would navigate doing that.
Yeah.
I think that would be difficult to do.
I mean, we're both alike in that we've never had to really work on any sort of toxic accounts or things like selling cigarettes to kids or doing bad things, you know what I mean? Things that we don't necessarily ethically believe in. I do know anecdotally though, that speaking of cigarettes, after Joe Camel and all that stuff, and it's amazing to me that Juul still got busted with all this, like, advertising to minors and influencers and things like that, especially after the Joe Camel sort of debacle, you know, the traditional methodology is, you know, marketing departments, you know, hire us, we work with them, the marketing directors and everything. And then it goes through legal, right, for approval. And then it goes out in the world. Once the Joe Camel hit, I know a lot of smokeless tobacco and tobacco kind of flipped. It went the other way, meaning no creatives would actually, I don't know if this is still the case, but there was a good blip in time where creative was developed and then run through legal before it went to the client.
Yeah.
So that the clients could have, they could only view
things. They could only buy things that they knew were approved.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you want to call that plausible deniability or sheltering them from, you know,
well, it's the right litigation way to do it. Or things like under that. Those circumstances, yeah. It seems absolutely like the right thing to do.
Well, people lost, I mean, you know, there's hundreds of millions of, I mean, you know, I mean, so we definitely went from 5 out of 5 doctors recommend Camel cigarettes, you know,
yeah.
To, hey, now you can only review the creative once it's gone through screening. And so I thought that was interesting, you know, but neither one of us have really had to work on that type of mm-hmm. business, you know? You know, I have had to work on projects, and as you have too, actually, where there are some potentially dubious health claims, right? Where it's like, we have joked in the past, like 1/3 less sugar doesn't mean that it's healthy.
Right.
Right. So, but, you know, do you believe in that? You know, that's not a strong, vehement draw a line in the sand. You know, it is sometimes hard to say, yeah, let's do a healthcare message.
Yeah.
When it's still like, it's a candy or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What? How does those things don't go together? You know, that type of thing. Right. Yeah. But I can't think of anything where it's like ultimate sin or, you know, political or any of that type.
No,
you know,
I think it would buttoning. Be, I think it would be, I think that would be really, really difficult to do.
Yeah. I think it
whether
would
whether it's a religious thing or a health thing or whatever it is, if you're not in alignment with whatever it is,
yeah,
I think it would be impossible to design or create or write against that product,
or
in support of it.
Agreed. Well, we've done previous podcasts on the greatest part of our jobs, and we just talk about the education and the field trips and the learning, all these different things. Mm-hmm. I think most of our stuff that we get to work on is, you know, we've been fortunate in that it is cool stuff like that. It's like, whoa, this is awesome. This is a new emerging technology that helps someone heal themselves or helps someone do something better or faster or quick, you know what I mean? That type of thing, you know? So that's, you know, that's always fun, right?
Yeah, and we actually do work on a fair amount of alcohol products.
Yeah, I guess that's
doing some creative, and so depending on where you stood there, that could be, I guess, deemed as. Now we're not, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's still please drink responsibly, but it's not.
We're not selling Jello shots to spring breakers, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. I mean, it's a lot of sort of outreach and availability of new flavors and new products and things like that mm-hmm. in existing channels that are sheltered, you know? So, you know, yeah, it is interesting that you bring that up, though, that's for sure. So anything else from a previous life you think that, you know, maybe you got a good giggle like, man, this thing's not going anywhere, you know? I mean, I will say this. We both have had a lot of pitch meetings with, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
With people that have come in that potentially wanted to hire us. Yeah. And we've been like, what in the, like.
Yeah, we've had a few instances where people have tapped into their entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
Maybe in a bad way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have come up with what they deem to be the greatest idea ever. And we've had to be like.
Yeah,
I don't think we're the right fit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're the right fit for that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to pass on that one.
Thankfully, we haven't seen any of those products blow up.
You know? Yeah. You're like, oh,
we're those, batting 1,000, I think.
Yeah. Those were the guys that passed on getting in on the ground floor on such and such. Yeah. No, none of those have taken off yet.
No,
so,
no.
Yeah, there are some funny stories about that. But I will say this, it's always interesting to meet those people, you know what I mean, and go through that experience, you know, and sort of understand where their mindset and consideration is on inventions and creations. But yeah, we won't name names on those fronts, you know.
Hey, you can't hit it if you don't swing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not to discourage, we're not trying to discourage anybody out
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, just some fun anecdotes, I think, from the past. Certainly the cereal goes down as one of the odder, stranger things that we've worked on.
Yeah.
I think in our careers.
For sure.
And all the kids out there listening, the answer is no. You cannot eat cereal in the car.
Yeah.
There's no cereal in the car.
Okay, hold on.
Stick with a muffin.
Quick time out.
Stick with a muffin.
What if you're two and you have the cup full of Cheerios? That's different.
That's different.
That's acceptable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a long pause on that one.
So. I mean, I think that's now, but the Cheerios don't have milk in them.
No. We had that, like, it's like a sippy cup thing with that weird little lid that you can reach your hand
Let me rephrase it.
You know, so yeah.
It's a no milk policy.
No milked cereal in the car.
It's a no milk policy.
Yeah. Okay.
And any drink has to have a lid on it.
Okay.
There's no like open cup.
Yeah. No, hey, yeah, I'm with you.
You gotta have a secured lid.
Totally agreed. Well, thankfully our kids are older, so we don't have to worry about that anymore.
And you just shouldn't drink milk in the car anyway.
No, that's not.
Not even with a lid on it. I mean, it just seems weird.
Yeah, is milk a to-go
item?
No. Do you only drink milk in the privacy of your own home? Is that when you drink milk?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I mean, you can buy like Muscle Milk and all the milk like at the convenience store down the street.
You can do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can do.
It doesn't mean you should. Yeah. All right. There you go. We're speaking the same language.
Milk in your coffee is acceptable in the car.
Okay.
That's when you can bring milk in the car.
I do that every single day.
That's right.
I'm with you. All right. We should wrap this one up.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for tuning in. We will catch you next time. Of course, you can find us in the meantime online on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com or on all the socials at mocktheagency. And drop us a note. We would love to hear from you. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks, everybody.